Please join me now for our scripture lesson, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. I want to read it first in the New International Version, which will be on your screen, but then I'll read it second in the New Revised Standard Version. Listen to the text. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the New Revised Standard Version is closer to the original language, and it says, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. That last phrase that is the title of my message today, God is with us. Years ago, when my late mother was alive, I had the habit of calling her each time I was about to travel, whether someplace in the country or out of the country. I would let her know where I was going, when I was scheduled to leave, how long I was going to stay, and when I was scheduled to return. I did that because I knew that if something happened to me during my trip, whether I became ill or got into some trouble or needed some assistance, my mother would not rest until I was safe and sound. I knew that she would leave no stone unturned in her efforts to get to me or to make sure that I was okay. I guess you could say I was a mama's boy. And mothers are like that. They will risk life and limb to protect and to be with their children. When my children were in college, and later when they began to have apartments, they would often call to ask for money for food and for rent. At one point, we were helping with rent in three different cities. And sometimes my kids would call, and my response to them would be stern, because I want them to be independent and to learn to manage their own affairs. And so sometimes I would say no, but of course that didn't work. They would simply call their mother, and she would come to me, and she would say, Ricky, I cannot see them hungry. And I would say to her, I can. They need to grow up. And, of course, what I said didn't hold the day. The kids would get whatever they needed. That's how mothers are. Their hearts and their resources are committed to their children. If they feel that their children need them, they do not hesitate to show up and be with their children. Thank God. Thank God for mothers. This Advent season is a celebration of the heart and the commitment of God. Like a mother, God is connected to and committed to God's people. Advent celebrates the coming of Christ into the world. Christ's coming is a reflection of the care and love of God. In Christ, God comes to be present with the people of God. And that is the point of our text in Matthew. The writer shares the context of Jesus' birth. He tells the people that Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of prophecy, that the coming of Christ is an indication that God is with us, that God is present with us. And so Matthew references the passage about the Emmanuel and connects that prophecy to Jesus. Emmanuel is not a name. Emmanuel is a title. so that Jesus is the embodiment of the phrase, God is with us. So that his life will be a living reflection of Emmanuel. That's why he's given that title. The NIV translates it as God with us, but the better translation is the NRSV, God is with us. That's the message of the Advent season. God is with us. Jesus' presence in the world becomes the evidence of God's abiding presence. That God is with us, that God abides with us, that is fulfilled in the person and presence of Jesus. So that's what I want to talk about, who God is with us. And what does that mean? What does it mean when we say God is with us? What benefits do we derive from God is with us? And I'd like to sort of get at it differently by sharing a couple of stories and an illustration and gleaning from those stories and illustrations what we mean God is with us. When my oldest daughter, Regine, and oldest son, Brendan, were very young, I was serving at my first pastorate in Joliet, Illinois. I was in my mid-20s when I started pastoral ministry. I guess since I was close in age to many of the youth in the congregation, many of them became attached to me. And often, Zenodi and I would invite the youth over to our house for activities and meals. And one day, when the youth stopped by, I was on the floor playing with Regine and Brendan. I guess Regine must have been about 6 or 7, and Brendan was about 2 years old. And several of the youth were surprised to see me rolling around on the floor and frolicking with my kids. And so one of them said, "Pastor, I'm surprised that you're down there on the floor." And of course, they weren't surprised because of my size, because at that time I was slim and good looking. They weren't surprised about that. Don't get it twisted. But they said, she said, "I was surprised to see you on the floor because you're always so serious at the church." And I said to her, "Well, when I'm at the church, I'm working and I need to be serious. Church is serious business. But when I'm at home, I'm daddy. And when you have small kids, you have to play with them. That's what you do with little kids. If you want to play with them, you have to get down on their level. And sometimes that means rolling around on the floor." And that's part of the meaning of God is with us. It means that God gets on our level. It means that God identifies with us, that God comes in Christ to be present with us on the ground level. The incarnation is God's way of letting the world know that God understands who we are and what it's like to be a human being. Christ comes to identify with humanity, to experience what we experience, to feel what we feel, and to let us know that God knows who we are and what we face. God knows us, beloved. And so in the incarnation, Jesus gets in reach of us on a personal level. God identifies with us. God is not just some transcendent being bigger and greater than anything that we can imagine. Advent means that God is also immanent. God is personal. God is present with us. God identifies with us. God gets us. God is with us means that God identifies with us and God knows what it's like to be human on the ground level. That's good news, beloved, that God gets us, that God knows us, that God identifies with us. Years ago, my brother-in-law went on a business trip to Mexico. And while he was there, he became ill and was hospitalized. And my wife's family was told that he was in serious condition and that when he got better, he would need someone to come to Mexico to accompany him back to the United States. And so my late father-in-law, who spoke French and very little English, decided to travel to Mexico. And we also decided that I would go with him. I speak some Spanish, but I'm not fluent in Spanish, you know, but to say the least. I went to help my father-in-law. I went to help him navigate through the process of getting my brother-in-law out of the hospital and back to the United States. And of course, thank God, everything worked out fine. But I went to support my father-in-law. I went to provide help and assistance. I went to ensure that clear communication took place. So I went to be with my father-in-law and my brother-in-law. And I share that with you because sometimes you need support. Sometimes you need someone to go with you. And the person who supports you, the person who goes with you, becomes a source of comfort and reassurance. And they don't necessarily have to do anything. It's just good to have someone around to accompany you when the going gets tough. I tell you, that's what a true friend is. A true friend will support you and be around you when the going gets tough. But that's also part of the meaning of God is with us. It means that God not only identifies with us, but also accompanies and supports us. Jesus is the one in whom God is present to accompany God's people. Advent means that God comes to be with us, to accompany us, to support us, so that whatever we experience, whether a pandemic or a problem, God is with us. We do not walk through this life by ourselves. Wherever we go, God goes. In fact, beloved, before we get there, God is already there, waiting on us to support us and to accompany us. God's presence accompanies and supports us. That's a big theme in the Gospel of Matthew. The writer begins in the beginning of Jesus' story by saying that the coming of Jesus is the coming of God's presence. He identifies Jesus' birth with the Emmanuel, the coming of God's presence. But not only there, but in other places in Matthew, Matthew also says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So God accompanies even two or three. That's why it doesn't matter if I'm in the sanctuary and you're in your home. It doesn't matter where you are, because wherever the people of God are gathered, God accompanies them. God is present with his people. And then Matthew ends his gospel with that great commission where Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." That God is accompanies the church on her ongoing mission into the future. That's why I prayed in my prayer today. We know what 2020 has brought so far. We don't know what the rest of this month will bring, and we do not know what 2021 will bring. But one thing we do know is Jesus promised his ongoing presence with the church no matter what happens. He is the presence that accompanies and supports the church. And that's a blessing, beloved. It's a blessing that God accompanies and supports the church, because COVID-19 has taken a lot from us. It has taken our loved ones. It has taken some of our freedoms. It has taken our sense of comfort and security. It has interrupted our way of life. It has shifted our way of worship and being the church. But I'm thanking God today, COVID-19 has not stopped God. It has not stopped the presence of God. God continues to support us. So whether we worship in a sanctuary or make our homes a dwelling place for God, God accompanies us and supports us. And then one more thing, and then I'm done. A few years back, you might recall, a soccer team in Thailand got trapped in a cave. You remember that? These young kids ranging in age from 11 to 16, along with their coach, went to explore this cave when the monsoon rain started falling and caused the cave to flood, trapping 12 boys and their soccer coach for 18 days. I know you remember that story. And I'm sure, as I said earlier about mothers, I'm sure that somebody's mother, one of those boys' mother said, "My son is not back yet. He was supposed to get back at this time, and he's not back yet." And they alerted the officials when the team did not return. And cave diving experts had to be brought in to try to figure out a way to rescue these boys from this cave. They even warned that it was potentially too risky to dive to get them out. And but the people in Thailand, the officials, were aware that the boys could be trapped for months by monsoon rains that would swell waters in the cave system. And so when an opportunity of mild weather came, they took advantage of it. A massive water pumping effort also made this winding, meandering cave more navigable. Each of these boys, ages 11 to 16, with no diving experience, was guided out by a pair of divers in 3 days of intricate and high-stake operations. The route in some places was just a crawl space. They had oxygen canisters positioned at regular intervals to refresh each team's air supply. And you can remember that even one of the Navy SEALs died while trying to replenish these oxygen canisters. It was a powerful situation. The world watched as these young boys were put on camera after they were located, before they were rescued, as the world watched as these brave Navy SEAL divers went in there and brought these boys to safety. I tell you, sometimes you need to be rescued. Sometimes you're stuck in a place or a situation, and you need somebody who is willing to get you out. And that's the ultimate meaning of God is with us. Not only does God identify with us, not only does God accompany and support us, but God also rescues us. God is with us means that God comes in Jesus Christ to rescue us and to bring us into his family. And you might ask, rescue us from what? God comes in Jesus to rescue the world from sin. The Apostle Paul writes, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But the Gospel of John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Advent means that God comes to rescue a people trapped in the pit of sin. God comes personally to get us out. Just like the Navy SEALs who had to navigate the complicated labyrinth of the cave system in Thailand, God navigates the insidious nature and impact of sin to redeem fallen humanity. God rescues us. Means that God doesn't abandon us and allow sin and Satan to hold the day. And I'm glad about that, beloved, because the devil is busy. But the Bible lets us know the devil is a lie. God comes to rescue and release us from the grip of Satan. And God personally shows up and does the job. It's interesting that one of those Navy SEALs died as a part of the rescue effort for those young kids. Sometimes rescues require sacrifice. Sometimes rescues require somebody to give up something. And God knows about rescue sacrifices. Paul writes, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." God with us means that God rescues us from the grip of sin and the power of sin. Somebody said to me recently, they said, you know, it doesn't really seem like the holidays. It doesn't seem like Christmas. And I get it. The pandemic has shifted things. Thanksgiving was different. And Christmas, I'm sure for many, will be different. And New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I'm sure for many, will be different. But let me say to you, how you experience Christmas is predicated upon how you understand Christmas. Let me say it again. How we experience Christmas is based or predicated upon how we understand Christmas. If your Christmas is about a tree or decorations or a turkey and a meal, if your Christmas is about the presents that you get under the Christmas tree, then yes, the pandemic might impact your Christmas. But if Christmas is truly about Jesus Christ, then COVID-19 hasn't changed anything. The same Christ that was with us last year is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same Christ who comes in Bethlehem is still alive and well. And this Christmas, stop worrying about everything on the outside. Just remember you've been rescued, that you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, that you've been lifted out of the pit of sin, that God has placed your feet on a solid foundation. Remember that and celebrate Jesus Christ. God is with us, beloved. God is with us. I'm trying to get through. In February of this year, my father-in-law died, the one with whom I traveled to Mexico. And he was well into his 90s, lived a good life, a long life, a productive life. He died in New York City. And I thank God that we were able to go and have his funeral and celebrate his life right on the heels of this pandemic showing up. And it might have been there when we were in New York. Thank God for his covering. So that's how the year started. And then COVID hit. And all of the stuff that has occurred this year, all of the illnesses, all of the deaths, all of the changes that have occurred this year, this has been a tough year. And then just last week, December comes in. I get a message from my sister in Illinois who tells me that my niece has lost her baby. My niece, who just got married 2 years ago, she and her husband having their first child, pregnant 6 months, and then doesn't feel the baby and goes in and has to have has to go through labor to give birth to a dead baby. And that took me back, because when Zenodi and I were in our late 20s, between Regine and Brendan, we experienced a miscarriage. I know what that's like, losing a child, and you're young and you're worried about how life is going to turn out. And so we begin the year with one death, end the year with the death so far of a 6-month baby in utero. And you might say, how are we going to get through it? How will LaToya and Chris get through it? And with all this we've gone through, all I can say is he's God at the beginning of the year. He's God in the middle of the year. And he'll be God in the end of the year. And it doesn't matter if you're up or if you're down. It doesn't matter if the storm is raging or the sun is shining. He's still God, and he still reigns supreme. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Tell me, where would I be? He kept my enemies away. He let the sun shine through a crowded day. He rocked me. He rocked me in the cradle of his heart when he knew I had been battered by the storm. So if it had not been for the Lord, where would I be? And where would you be? We extend this message to you.
And online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.